Been dead tired and yet energized. That's how I felt this morning when I woke up. I kept listening for the whippoorwills and they weren't there. But I'll tell you what, it's to come into this assembly and to see all of you again, it energizes me greatly. There's something about being around all these young people this past week that I enjoy so much. So many times I feel like I'm getting old. And I look in the mirror and it's confirmed. And I go walking around, limping around, and that's certainly confirmed. But I want you to know that being around young people, in my spirit, I feel young again. Somebody handed me a picture. I don't know where in the world they got this thing. They handed me a picture. When I first started preaching, my very first year of preaching, I was 22 years old. I know you can't see that, but I'm really young. I've got black hair. I weighed 152 pounds. And I was good looking. Yeah. But I want you to know that I felt young then and I feel young now. And inside, I'm just the same. And being around all of you young people, you just energize me so much. And now getting to be with all of my brethren, whether young or old. We all, as we just studied in 1 Thessalonians that Terry led us in, we're all just soon going to fall asleep. And then we're going to wait for the Lord to come back. And then He's going to change our decayed mortal bodies. And we're going to be immortally arrayed. And we're going to then be with our Lord. And we're going to sing His praises and be with Him in His glory forever and ever. I can't wait for that. I'll have to. But I anticipate it. And I want you to know how much you mean to me, and how much the Lord has blessed this congregation. Tim brought out a point that I was going to make in my lesson this morning concerning what we're trying to do here. We're trying to teach the Bible to as many people as we can. We're all trying to go to heaven and take as many as we can with us. One of the ways we're trying to accomplish that the elders have established is we're trying to have different areas where we get involved. We try to get as many of you involved in, whether it's the Q&A box that we do in various places or home Bible studies, the Northwest Bookstore, whatever, trying to get people involved in teaching, telling people and sharing the faith that we all enjoy. We anticipate Jesus coming again. The Lord is at hand, and that we feel that, and that we feel that He is watching. He's vitally interested in what we're doing here. And with things going on like in Duluth with Taylor and Kieran and Steve over in Rapid City, and to know that we're having a hand in the preaching of the gospel in other places. But to see what Taylor's doing with his life. And now we're getting phase two of what we're doing with our preacher training program. And I want to preach about that this morning. And I'd like BJ, if he would, just for a second, to stand and so everybody in the audience knows who he is. This is BJ Sipe. He and his mom, Kelly, have come to us all the way from Salem. Thank you, BJ. Have come to all the way from Salem, Oregon. They got here, as I put in the bulletin, this past Monday and got a chance now. He's already intimately involved in the lives of so many of the young people that are here and all of us oldsters. And he's won our hearts, and I am so much looking forward to the next 3 months that we can spend together. BJ, I tell you what, I'm really pumped up about this. I know the congregation here is, and the elders are very excited about this, and want you to know, Kelly, that we're going to take good care of BJ. In fact, ultimately by the end of 3 months, he'll probably be taking good care of us. But I did this with Taylor, and I want to do it again with BJ. I'd worked on a sermon on worship, on giving, in fact. But I decided to file it until another time. I want to just preach a lesson to BJ and to all of us in our relationship with BJ. This is a momentous occasion for all of us, that we get to have a hand in what's going on, and that has become a part of the tradition of the Lord's people for 2,000 years. And I say that in this way. Paul would take men such as Timothy and Titus and Trophimus and Epaphroditus and other men like that, and he would bring them along in the teaching of the gospel, and then he would lay a charge upon them to go preach the word. And I would like for us to do that by, before we get to 2 Timothy, I just want to spend a few moments talking about how God has over time laid charges upon people. And I think that then adds to the weight of what then Paul does with Timothy, and then what we as the elders in this congregation will do with BJ. You know, I think of the passages over in the Old Testament about, here was Moses standing before the people of Israel. And he says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you? Fear the Lord, walk in all of His ways, love Him. Serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Keep the commandments of the Lord, His statutes, which I command you for you to do this today." He piles it on. You do what God says for you to do. Then he said down in verse 20 of that chapter, "You shall fear." In other words, he multiplies that idea. You fear the Lord your God. You serve Him, and in Him you shall hold fast and take oaths in His name. I think about that. What we did Friday night, taking oaths, taking a pledge, making a covenant with God. You take oaths in His name. And we do that when we become Christians and make the good confession before we're baptized. We take an oath before God in His name because we're baptized in His name. And you're pledging to Him your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor. But then he turns in chapter 11 and verse 1. He says, "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall keep His charge, His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments always." Where we might say later in just a few moments where Paul laid a charge upon Timothy, and we will lay a charge upon BJ. The idea ultimately is it's God's charge. We can do nothing without God's authority. God laying a charge upon the people of Israel, God lays a charge upon us that we keep His statutes, His judgments, and His commandments forever. When David was dying, and try to envision in your mind's eye this scene of David on his deathbed, and Israel is wondering who among David's sons will be the next king and ruler of Israel. David calls Solomon. Not his oldest son. He calls Solomon to himself. He says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying," and I love this charge, it's one that fathers should give to their sons, "I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man." You're going to need it. You're getting ready to get that which you don't understand. The responsibilities of being a king over all these people is awesome. And then he said in verse 3, "And keep the charge of the Lord your God." God is giving you a charge now. He said to me, in fact, if you go back and read the text, He said to me that through me and through my seed, if all my sons would be faithful to the Lord, He would make us a name forever. I have tried to live up to that charge. Yes, I have fallen short. I have sinned. But I've tried to live up, and I've tried to be a man after God's own heart. Solomon, be a man. Prove yourself a man. The Lord's charge is for you to worship God, to keep His statutes, to walk in His ways, His commandments, His judgments, His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Read the book. Know the words, know the statutes and the commandments, and keep them. We turn to the New Testament, and all through the Old Testament, God gives charges to people. And so this is nothing new. And so then we turn to the New Testament, we can see Jesus gave charges to His apostles, But I need to skip over that for time's sake and move on into Paul for what we're trying to accomplish this morning. Paul wrote a letter to the Thessalonians, which we're reading, in fact, next week we will get into this very chapter, where Paul laid a charge upon the entire congregation. And this one's a particular one. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Read the book. Read the commands that God has laid down for us. I charge you to do that. So this was not an option. He didn't give a suggestion. He gave a command or a charge that it be done. And I think about that regarding this congregation, that God has given us a charge. A charge of things like in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 2, the charge that Paul gave to Timothy to teach others also. Things that were committed to him, he was to commit to others who would then be able to teach others also. We have a charge from God to be the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15. That's God's charge to us. And we have a charge then that we are to be a light to the world, we're to be a city set on a hill, and we're to be a beam of light to a dark world lost in sin. And so our responsibility is to be evangelists, all of us, to be sharers of the good news. And one of the ways that we have chosen to do that here is to take young men and to help develop them into gospel preachers, or to see if that's what their abilities and their talents are as they are seeking to find their way in life. We're not asking BJ on this morning to stand up and say, basically, I'm going to be a gospel preacher for the rest of my life, a public proclaimer. That might not be ultimately what he does. And so one of the things we're trying to do is help kind of find out, help him to find out what he wants to do with his life. And if this can be that which he would like to do and give his talents for the Lord. And so we're, as a congregation, helping this young man to do this. And I want you to know that this charge that's now been laid on us by the Lord and the elders now are laying upon you, that you take this responsibly this next 3 months. And you make a difference in this young man's life. And you impact this young man's life. And you get involved in this young man's life. Have him into your home. Get a chance to know him beyond the walls of this building. Be given to hospitality toward him, as you've done toward Taylor and toward me and toward Andy and toward so many others. And I know this is not much of a charge to you because you do it almost naturally. But the congregation was given a charge, and I think we need to do that. But now, I'd like to consider what Paul gave to Timothy and what I and the other elders and Andy and the congregation here would like to give for BJ. In 1 Timothy, I'd like for us to, I'm just kind of using some of these charts. I'm going to read other verses. So get your Bible out. We're going to read 1 Timothy, part of 1 Timothy together and part of 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. I know how almost all of you feel about Taylor. Every time I see any of you around Taylor, there is just a magnet that is drawn. He won our hearts, and we love him as a son in the faith. And we're going to feel the same way about BJ. I already know that. I already do. But to think that Paul says to my Timothy, my son, it can't get more intimate than that. And then skip down to verse 12 where it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God gave a charge to me and I'm trying to keep it. Although I was formerly," and he goes on and talks about what a horrible thing he had done in the past, some terrible sins. In fact, to be the chief of sinners, he says in verse 15. "But there's 16, however, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." One of the things that Paul did before he gives this charge to Timothy was basically to say, "Young man, I was once young too. And I made some horrible mistakes. And we're not any of us perfect in this. And we've all fallen short. And we desperately are in need of the mercy of God. And so I don't want you to think that here we are setting ourselves up above you, that we are somehow better than you are. Paul didn't do that with Timothy. He told him, in fact, very pointedly brought out his shortcomings and said, young man, I know where you are and I'm going to help you to get through this, to flee youthful lusts and the other things that he charged him with. But then he says in verse 18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. Somebody had given some prophecies, whether it's Paul or somebody else, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. One of the most interesting things as I read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus is over and over again, Paul keeps giving a charge, and every time he did that, without exception, he then turns and says, and I want you to know that there's some bad guys out there, that there's some hard work ahead of you, that it's a war going on, and this is not an easy, comforting job. It's the hardest job on the top side of God's green earth. Every time Paul would say, Timothy, you're great, and I give you this charge, and let's preach together, but I want you to know one thing. It's a hard, hard work we're getting into. And Paul could then, of course, roll up his sleeves, and I could show you my mosquito bites, but he would show you the body that was bearing in it the marks of the Lord Jesus for the persecutions that he endured. He says, Timothy, this is hard. We could keep reading. In fact, if you turn over into the third chapter, look at verses 14 and 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the support of the truth. Young man Timothy, young man BJ, Taylor, whoever it might be. He said, know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. There's a lot to be learned in how to live among brethren. How to be the kind of example to the believers, as he's going to later say in the fourth chapter. That you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. There's a lot to learn here, and we're going to help BJ to learn that. In chapter 4 then, look at verse 6. And then we'll skip down to verse 12. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And I want you to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, a good servant. The word diakonos there is the word minister, which is the word deacon. And it's the word servant, the one who serves. And so there is no clergy laity. And I know that BJ already knows that. If there's no clergy laity, there's no big I and little you. That we're all in this together. And he says that we're servants of Jesus Christ. We're nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And we're going to get a chance to do a lot of Bible reading and study together. And Andy's got some good things planned with him as well. And the other elders have as well. And we're going to spend a lot of time. And I want all of you to do the same. Find time that you might get the chance to have just a simple Bible study or devotion with BJ. And spend time in the Word, nourished in the words of faith. I wasn't there last night, but I got the feeling that what happened out at the Hansons' house and then down at the Joneses' house and other places, there was the nourishing words of faith being carried on between brethren together, spending time reading the Scriptures and studying and praying together. Skip to verse 12. Let no one despise your youth. But be an example to the believers. And he lists some things you need to focus on. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, public reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You're a public proclaimer of the word. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy through the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. What Tim said a moment ago about the pictures that we already have on our board, and I put in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago that Karen Murphy sent, and what's going on in Duluth with Taylor and Karen and the church there. The progress being made, and it's evident to all, that there are men who are examples to the flock, or they're examples to the believers in all of these various things. Then he says in verse 16, take heed to yourself, to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you. The whole purpose of gospel, being a gospel preacher, is to say, I'm going, will you go with me? And here's how. That's what preaching is all about. Doesn't 99% of our work is not done up here. It's done out there. It's done here and it's done out there and out there. Taking heed to myself, living the life as best I can, imitating Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and then going out and telling people of the world that He died for you. And then in chapter 5, many things that he would say there, the various charges, that he comes to verse 21. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. And he gives some various things that he wants there concerning how to deal with certain different kinds of people and learn how to work with not only the young, but also the old. We don't ask Taylor or BJ or any other man to come in here and be a youth minister. Getting along with the young people is great. It helps because that's his age group and that he can have the greatest influence perhaps there. But if you'll notice what Paul told Timothy is to instruct the older men and the older women as well as the younger men and the younger women. And let no one despise you and despise your youth. He said that to them twice. He told Titus the same thing. That I charge you, get involved with all the people of the congregation. Not just a select few and not just some clique. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. One of the things that we're going to try to accomplish with BJ is to help him to really grasp even more than he does now, the concept of eternal life and the destiny of souls that are going to be at his feet when he teaches and preaches the gospel. That it is a fight, a fleeing of sin in your life so that others can see your purity, but then a pursuing, not only on the defensive to flee, but to pursue offensively the teaching of the gospel to those who are lost. And then in verse 20 he said, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Do you realize that what we receive as gospel preachers is a trust from God, God that we are to guard with our lives? These words that are in the book of God are to be guarded with all our life, everything within us. Then in 2 Timothy, I want to start with verse 5 and 6. Since his mother is here, I want this to be heard before all of you. After he's talking about in verse 2, to Timothy, a beloved son, he says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is through the laying on of my hands. When I think about what BJ has received as a legacy from his own parents, his father is a godly man. His mother is a godly woman. And he has received that legacy from his parents. That they would expect of him to lay hold and to call to remembrance the genuine faith that they had taught him from infancy. BJ probably doesn't even remember the first times he heard about Abraham and Isaac or Noah and the flood or David and Goliath. I don't remember those things either. I don't even remember learning them. I just always knew them because from the time I was a little baby, my mother and dad would teach me those things. And I'm confident that's the way BJ has received his instruction as well. So he has a legacy to live up to from his parents and from the congregations where he has grown up, who have obviously influenced him greatly to pursue the possibility of becoming a gospel preacher. And so the legacy is there, and we're asking him to continue that legacy. So we turn to verse 13 and 14 when it says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith, in love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you." That's a charge, by the way. "To keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you." A charge to keep has been given to Timothy in this regard, and that is concerning the Word of God. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verses 1 and following, it reads, "Do you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You realize that's a charge? To be strong in God's grace? What does that mean? That means to know God's grace. You'll never be a good evangelist of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're not filled with the love of God that's given through the grace of God in your life. If you don't know grace, you'll never stick it out. If you don't know the grace of God and what God has done for you, that you are a chief of sinners, and now God in His mercy has extended to you the ability to go and preach the blessed news of Jesus Christ. We're going to try to go through a lot of that these next 3 months together, talking about God's grace. "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses." He sat at Paul's feet and listened to him preach. He says, "Young man, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure." There he goes again. "You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He gives him a charge. He turns right around and says, "It's a war, and there's going to be some hard times ahead." That makes me understand and appreciate what an older preacher, very gray-haired preacher, once told me. He says, "Don't preach, Rick, unless you absolutely have to. Find tents to make. Do something else unless you can't help it. Because if you do it for any other motive, you'll soon quit, or you'll become an albatross around the neck of the congregation where you're preaching. Don't do it unless you have to. Unless it's a fire in your bones and you cannot be stayed." Verse 14, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit," and so forth. Then in verse 15, "Be diligent." You cannot be lazy and be a gospel preacher. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Know the book. Work at it. Blood, sweat, and tears. Study of it. And that's the only way that you'll ever be a good gospel preacher. Then he says in verse 22, "Flee youthful lusts, and follow or pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And then he turns and says, "And avoid foolish and ignorant disciples." In other words, I give you a charge, and I want you to know there's a lot of people out there that don't do it. They're going to try to persuade you otherwise. Then we come to chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and I'll give this charge to BJ. "I charge you," Paul said to Timothy, and we give it to BJ. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom." So the charge is that there's an eternity approaching. "That said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." And BJ and I are going to have a long talk about that statement. "Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. You endure afflictions. You do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. How do you reckon Timothy felt after getting those two letters? I imagine he felt a rush. There was adrenaline. There was an excitement about it. But I am sure after he got through reading that there was a great fear and dread that would come over him as well. That every time he stood to preach, even long after Paul was dead, probably having been martyred, the picture of Paul would fade away and the picture of Jesus would come before him. That Paul would say, "Not me, Tim. Him. Look to Jesus. He's your greatest example. Preach Him. Preach the Word that He has left for us. And I give you this charge. Preach the Word." We as a congregation are pledged together to do all that we can to help BJ to become all that he can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that as we come to the conclusion of this lesson, that the last words that Paul gave to Timothy as he wrote from the Mamertine prison, already telling him the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. He concludes with these words, and knowing that Timothy might not ever see him again. "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. So be it." And we say to, in 3 months from now, those words to BJ. But before we get there, we have a charge to keep, and we lay that charge now upon him. Let's have a good summer together. Let's all work together in knowing what we're going to hopefully accomplish for the Lord's glory will lead to the salvation of men's souls, whether it be here, Duluth, Salem, Oregon, or wherever he might go. May God be praised. Thank you for your time this morning. The charge has been set. Let's stand and sing.